I'd like to ask for your prayers today as I try to share with you again the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I want to begin by just reading the first verse of the 122nd Psalm. Now, I'm sure that probably a lot of you here today could quote this verse. Psalm 122, verse 1. It says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Some of the things that Brother Lowe mentioned in his testimony are things that the Lord has put up on my heart to speak about today. I want to say just a moment for a moment something about this psalm. It is like many things in the scriptures. There are a variance of opinions as to this psalm, as to when it was written, to what it was written about. As far as the particular circumstances that it was written about, some seem to believe that it was perhaps written by David, perhaps written about things concerning his time. Some believe that it was written about David in a general sense. Some believe that this psalm was written later and that it really had to do with the things that were taking place, the events that were taking place in the days of Nehemiah when the people were returning from exile in Babylon and they were finally, after 70 years, they were finally being allowed to return to Jerusalem, to return to their homeland. And I am not really sure. I don't know if we can actually, if we have anything that will actually help us to say with certainty the time frame that this psalm was written and what it exactly pertained to. But I do believe this. I do believe that this verse, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I do believe that this verse gives us in this what is the proper attitude concerning the house of the Lord. And that's what I would like to speak about today. I'd like to speak about, and I'll use this for a title, a good attitude. And, you know, God, and I've heard this said before, God is no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of attitudes, isn't he? And there is a right attitude that we can have concerning the house of God. There is a right attitude that we can have concerning the work of the Lord, concerning our membership in the Lord's church. There's a right attitude that we can possess, and there's a wrong attitude that we can have as well. And so I would like to speak about that today, and I want to share with you briefly just a few quotes and a few things that people have said throughout the years concerning attitude. Now, I've read throughout my life many times, I have read the different things, different quotes that were made by Abraham Lincoln, and he really made some good ones. And one of those quotes of Lincoln's was concerning attitude. And this is the way that he put it. He said, "We can complain because rose bushes have thorns, or we can rejoice because thorn bushes have roses." And Martha Washington made this statement. She said, the greater part of our happiness or misery depends upon our dispositions and not upon our circumstances. Now, I want you to think about these statements, these quotes, as I try to speak about having a right attitude. Now, there's one more that I want to share. Some of you were here to hear this, and some of you weren't. This was something that Brother Strode mentioned a few years back when he was opening up a third Sunday night service, third Sunday night singing service. And Brother Strode a lot of times shares some scripture first or a story first when he's opening up the service. And this is something that he shared with us that night. And it was titled, It's All About Attitude. And I'm not going to be able to say this exactly the way that he did because I thought about it and I couldn't remember the exact words, but I remember enough of this to be able to make the point. Brother Strode spoke about a lady who was losing her hair and how that she had one morning she had woke up and looked in the mirror and she discovered that she only had two hairs left. And so what she said was, well, I guess I'll just braid my hair today. And the next morning she woke up and she only had one hair left. And she said, well, I guess today I'll just wear a ponytail. And the next morning she had no hair. And she didn't whine or complain. She just said, well, I guess today I just won't have to fix my hair. And it's all about attitude. And I believe that Abraham Lincoln was exactly right. And I believe that a lot of times this is what we see as the difference between somebody that looks at something with a right attitude and somebody that looks at something with a wrong attitude. And I believe that there are those that complain that rose bushes have thorns, and then there are those that rejoice that thorn bushes have roses. It's all in a person's perception of things. It's all in their attitude about things. And I'm going to say this, and I might get back to this a little bit later on, but I want you to remember this, that I really believe that our attitude has a whole lot to do with our altitude. And you know, an attitude of gratitude is a really good attitude to have. We sang this morning about being thankful. And I think that we certainly should be very thankful for the things that the Lord has given to us. And so in this psalm, I believe that whatever time period or whatever set of circumstances that this was perhaps actually written about, that the proper attitude towards the house of God is expressed in this. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. As Brother Lowe mentioned this morning, don't you wish that everybody that has ever joined the Lord's church would have that attitude, that I'm thankful for the opportunity. I'm thankful that the time has come when we are set to go to the house of the Lord. I will go there with gladness in my heart. I will go there with thanksgiving in my heart. I won't go there with a ho-hum attitude. I'll go there with an attitude of gladness and gratitude for what I am being privileged to do. Do you know that for us to assemble here today to have freedom of worship, to come here today and assemble together And to worship the Lord together is a privilege. Amen. It's a privilege. It's not a right. It's a privilege that we have. And so we ought to be thankful for that. In the 100th Psalm, we are told that the way that the psalmist described his disposition concerning going to the house of the Lord, the 100th Psalm in the first two verses tells us that that's the attitude with which we are to serve the Lord. And it says in Psalm 100, verse 1 and 2, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And so, I do believe that it is the duty of every member of the Lord's church to assemble. I do. I believe that it is our duty as members of the church to support the church in every aspect. I believe it is our duty to carry out the things that have been written in the church covenant, and certainly the things that have been written in the scriptures concerning membership in the Lord's church. I certainly do believe that we have a duty, but I'll tell you, it ought to be more than duty that drives us. It ought to be more than duty that prompts us to be at the house of God. It ought to be love for the Savior and thankfulness for what he has blessed us with and gratitude for what he has done for us. That ought to be enough to prompt us to go with joy and gladness to the house of the Lord. Now, we live in a time, it seems, and I believe that this same attitude, it's up to you whether you want to agree with this or not agree with it, but I'm convinced that this same attitude has crept into our churches through the years. We live in a time, it seems, where people want to shirk their personal responsibility towards things, and then they want to blame it on somebody else. They want to say, well, it's somebody else's fault. It's because what somebody else has done or something like that. I'll tell you what, I don't think that it profits a person at all to shirk their responsibility and then blame somebody else for it. I believe that person would benefit more if they would just own up, hey, this is my responsibility, this is on me, and if I don't do this, it's nobody else's fault, it's my fault. But we live in a society where even somebody would drive through a drive-up and order a cup of coffee and then want to sue somebody because they spilled the coffee on them and it was hot. I guess they thought that they should have served it to them cold. I don't know. But, you know, people are always wanting to blame somebody for something, aren't they? Rather than take responsibility, people want to blame somebody else for something. And that's not a good way to live, and that's not a proper way to live. Now, we can, and we should worship the Lord when we're all by ourselves. Have you ever had a good time in the Lord when there was nobody else around but you? Have you ever had a wonderful time? My wife, I know a few times, has come into my study, and I'd just be in there rejoicing, you know, reading the Word of the Lord and studying the Word of God and just rejoicing. And she would come in there and say, how are you doing? I'd say, the Lord and I are just having a revival. We're just having a great time in here. I've been in my car before, driving, just having a great time with the Lord. We can worship when it's just us, can't we? But that's not enough, is it? That's not all we're supposed to do. That's not all that the scriptures tell us that we are to do. The Bible tells us time and time again that we are to assemble, just like we have here today. What we are doing today, folks, is not just something that we have conjured up. We are instructed in the scriptures that we are to assemble together and that we are to collectively worship the Lord. It's biblical, it's scriptural to do such a thing. It's unscriptural when you're not doing it. It is. It's a transgression of God's word to not do this. Amen. Let me share some scriptures with you. I'm going to read a few, mostly from Psalms. Psalms 89, verse 7. You don't have to turn to these. You can if you want. But Psalm 89, verse 7 says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. In the 107th Psalm, in verse 31 and 32, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. In the 111th Psalm, in verse 1, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. And I really believe that when people get saved and when people unite with the Lord's church, that a great part of being a member of the Lord's church, it's not all that there is to it, but I do believe that a great part of being a member of the Lord's church is assembling together with the other members to worship the Lord. To worship. If that weren't true, I don't believe that we would have the verses that we find in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, verses that you've heard me quote often. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It said, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so you see, we are not only told in various places throughout the Bible, we are not only told that we are to assemble, but we are also told that we are not to forsake that. That we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You know, listen, the people of God, the people that have a kindred spirit, people that have been born again, people that have experienced the same thing. You know, I have something inwardly, I have something spiritual that the Lord did for me when he saved me that I can relate to you folks about that I cannot relate to the people of the world. Oftentimes when I speak about being born again or being saved by God's grace in the presence of those who have not experienced, oftentimes they don't have any idea what I'm talking about. I hope that they will find out, but oftentimes they don't know what this means. They don't know what it means to be saved. They don't know what it means to be born again. But when we assemble ourselves together for worship, we are in the presence of people who understand one another better than anybody on earth because we have a kindred spirit and we have had a like experience where God gave us peace. Well, we repented of our sins and trusted in the Lord. And he gave us peace. And I'll tell you what, I love to hear the people of God share that with one another. Now, Sometimes, and I want to go back to what I said earlier, sometimes people forsake that duty. Sometimes people do forsake the assembling of themselves together. Sometimes people forsake it for a short time. To be honest with you, as far as I'm concerned, and you're certainly welcome to your own opinion, but I believe that sometimes people forsake the assembling of themselves together to go and do other things that are really not worth us forsaking assembling with God's people to go and do. Other times, I believe there are people that perhaps forsake the assembly of the saints assembling with the people of God for a long period of time. Sometimes, and when people do that, it's very easy to be able to find an excuse or to be able to lay the blame on somebody else. I don't like, you know, there was somebody there at church that said something to me that I just didn't like. I didn't like what the preacher preached. I didn't like what that deacon said in business meeting. There's all sorts of excuses that people can find where they can lay the blame on somebody else. But I'll tell you what, I believe that oftentimes the problem is when people forsake their church, when people forsake the assembling together, I believe oftentimes it's just because they've got a bad attitude. Amen. About the church. And, you know, it always has amazed me how that the same people, it seems, that will say, well, I'm not going to go there anymore because so-and-so said this or so-and-so did that. Those same people, they could go to the place where they're employed and they could find all sorts of negative things about the place where they work, but the next morning at 7 o'clock, they'll be punching the time clock, making the money, and they won't let that drive them away from their job. There are all sorts of situations where people find negative things among their family, but when it's time for the family reunion, they'll be there together, gladly assembled together with them, enjoying the family reunion, and then turn right around oftentimes, and the least little thing that comes up in the church, they'll run away. They'll run away. Oh, I don't like it there anymore. Well, let me tell you something. And I'll say this honestly. God knows my heart. Throughout the years. And you know what? I don't have any doubt throughout the years that there have been things that I've done that have bothered people. I know through the years there have been things that people have done that have bothered me. I've seen things done in business meetings. I've seen things done in worship services. I've seen times when the people of God acted up. I've seen times when there were things that happened among us that should not have happened. And the reason for that is because we've still got this old sinful nature of Adam about us. And sometimes we just don't act exactly the way that we should. Sometimes we give in to the flesh when we shouldn't because we are not perfect people. But I'm going to tell you something. With all honesty of heart, there has never been anything that I've ever seen anybody do. There has never been anything that anybody has said that has ever drowned my desire to assemble at the house of God. Amen. I'm glad when we can come and be together. Because there are things that I see there and there are things that I feel there that are strong and powerful enough to outweigh anything that's negative. Anything. I love to hear the people of God sing. Brother Strode, I do. I love to hear the people of God take these old hymn books and begin to sing and begin to praise the Lord and lift him up in song. You know, I enjoy that so much that it goes with me throughout my week. I will sometimes 2 or 3 days after we've had a church service, I'm still, that song is just in my head. I just keep hearing it over and over and rejoicing over and over. I love to hear the people of God testify about the goodness of the Lord. I love it when we can be together and we can be worshiping and we can feel the Spirit of the Lord begin to make himself known among us. All of a sudden there's that feeling, that familiar feeling that comes in when we know that there's a power among us that is the power of Almighty God. I love to be in the assembly of the saints and hear somebody just lose control. Somebody just gets so filled up in the Lord that they've got to let it go. They've got to just express it some way, and they begin to shout and praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. I heard this not long ago. One of my pastor friends told me not long ago that there was somebody that was a member of the church where he pastored, and they had brought a visitor with them. They had brought a friend with them to church. And after that service, this person who was a member of the church stopped attending there and told the pastor that he wasn't going to come there anymore, because when he brought his friend with him, some old saint shouted and scared his friend. And he just wasn't going to come anymore. Well, I'll tell you what, if you told me that, all I'd have to say is, see you. You're not about what I'm about. I believe we ought to express ourselves the way the Lord would have us to. If you need to shout, let it fly. If you need to sing a song, let it fly. If you need to lift up your hands and say, thank you, Lord, let it fly. Follow the Spirit of God. I'll tell you what, if our churches ever stop doing that, we might as well close up. We've got to follow the Spirit of the Lord. You know what, I look out sometimes, I don't want to just single anybody out, but sometimes I'm up here preaching, and or sometimes maybe sitting up here singing. I'll look out there and I'll see Sister Betty Matlock, and I'll see big old tears begin to well up in her eyes, and I know she's happy in the Lord. I'll see that happen with a lot of people. And you know what's going on? The Spirit of God is moving up on their heart. Isn't it wonderful to be in the house of God, to be with God's people when that begins to happen, when the Lord begins to manifest his power, we begin to have a love fest. We begin to show our love not only for God, but our love for one another. Folks, I wouldn't trade it for the finest country club in the world. Well, I've got to tell you, this past Thursday afternoon, I don't know what was wrong with me. I was just drained, physically, spiritually, emotionally. I mean, I felt like a big old couch potato or something. Just didn't feel like I had any kind of energy at all. Just thinking about going to revival service that night. I'll tell you what, I could have easily, that afternoon, I could have easily just sat down on the couch and turned on a television and become an idiot. I could have just easily just wasted time. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to go. To the house of God. I'm going to go to the revival service. I got in my car. I was going to church about an hour away. I got in my car. I began to drive. As I began to drive, I began to have some anticipation. I began to have some expectation
I begin to feel a little bit better. I begin to think about being with God's people. I begin to think about singing songs. I begin to think about hearing a good message, being together with God's people and praying. I got there to Victory Church. I got there, I went, and I sat down, and the service began. Wouldn't you know it, that it wasn't too long before I was feeling a whole lot better. It wasn't too long until the songs were beginning to affect my soul. The testimonies of God's people were beginning to have their effect. I was beginning to feel revived. And I was sitting there on that pew, and I swear today to you, it felt like the Lord just came up and sat right down next to me. And when that service was over, I'm telling you what, I was ready to go. I mean, I was raring to go. I was revived. I was lifted up. I was driving away after it was over. I was driving away, and down the road, not far from that church, there's a place there in that town where they have a great big pit where these young people come and they play volleyball there. And I drove by and I saw those young people playing a game of volleyball out there under the lights, under the moonlight and the lights. And I drove by and I thought, well, you know what? No doubt those kids are having fun, but boy, they should have felt what I just felt. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't want to go to church. That's not fun. The best times I've ever had in life have been in the house of the Lord. Did you come here today with great joy? Did you come here today with great gladness? When the alarm clock went off this morning, when you woke up this morning, did you say, thank the Lord, it's time to go to the house of God. Praise the Lord. No telling what will happen there today when I assemble with the people of God and we begin to worship. No wonder what's going to take place. I'll tell you what, folks, if we don't come with expectation and anticipation of a great God doing great things, then we don't have the right attitude. We don't have the right attitude concerning assembling together at the house of the Lord. How many times have you sit among a congregation just like you are today? How many times in your life have you been assembled with God's people and the gospel will get a hold of some lost sinner's heart? The next thing you know, they're kneeling on the mourner's bench, or maybe they're kneeling at their seat and they're crying out to God, and all of a sudden everything changes. They get up and they say, I got it. I got saved. Boy, aren't you glad for those moments? Amen. I mean, aren't these things some of those precious memories that we sing about? It's not just a memory of growing up on a farm and having a good mom and dad. Those precious memories are what we experience in the house of the Lord, assembled with God's people. And I'll tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, anybody that just lets the little things that people do drive them away, I believe they forgot who they were worshiping. You know why? Why I came here today? I came here today first and foremost to worship the Lord. Amen. To serve Him. Amen. And you know what? If
if somebody does something that's not exactly right, that's not the fault of him that hung on the cross for me, is it? It's not the Lord's fault. Not his fault. No need for me to turn on him just because everything isn't perfect. Oh, I was glad. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Now, I'm planning on bringing the message tonight. I've got something on my heart I want to share. And I'm going to say this in closing. And if you want to hear about it any further, you'll just have to come back tonight. I believe, I'm saying I believe, this is my considered opinion. I believe that our time to assemble here and worship together on the earth is soon to come to a close. And if you want to hear any more about that, Lord willing, we'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock. I appreciate your attention. Let's have a song.